that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall
We'd like to welcome you to our service for May 24th, 2020. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we need to give thanks for God's care and care and his care for us as a nation. And we thank the Lord that he has raised up leaders throughout the decades. And we need to pray for those who continue to serve us in like manner. Our call to worship this morning is from Isaiah 42. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 21 in the Hymns for the Family of God. Love divine, all loves excelling. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find thy promised rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly Turn and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. O Sacred Head Now Wounded, hymn number 284. O sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. How art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. And now hymn number 67, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Our salutation this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This morning we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading about the old man. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we do thank you and praise you that we have access to your throne of grace. We thank you that you have given us the indwelling Spirit, whereby we call you Father. And we thank you that it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power and the will to change our behavior, that we may indeed put away bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, that we will put away evil speaking, that in the process of speaking that we might give grace to the hearer. Teach us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, that we may be as God has forgiven us, that we may forgive others. We thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. Also from Ephesians, but from chapter 5, we have the new man. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Our hymn of response, hymn number 443, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your light. We ask that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that we would come out from among those who hate you, among those who are ungodly, that we would gather together as the saints, and that we would learn to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, and to encourage one another as the day of the Lord is approaching. We ask that we would look forward to the soon return of your Son, and that we would remember that we are to be his ambassadors, that we are to lift him up so that others will be drawn to him. We ask that you would teach us to meditate upon your word, that we would behold wondrous things, and that we would be those who would study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not to be ashamed. We ask that we would learn to pray for all men, that we would especially pray for those who rule, that we may continue to live at peace. We thank you, Father, for your faithful servants throughout the world who declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of your saints who live as pilgrims and sojourners, knowing that you are preparing a place for us and that Jesus Christ will come again. We thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Psalm 1. Our Our next few services will be meditations on the Psalms. This morning we're doing Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 is, as it were, a psalm of psalms. I call it the preface to the Psalms. For the subject matter of Psalm 1 is ultimately the subject matter of every psalm. This distinction between the blessed man and the ungodly. This psalm divides, first of all, the actions of the blessed man and how he's compared to a tree, and then we have the actions of the wicked man. And we have God's response to both. The psalm begins with the word blessed. It opens with what we would normally consider to be a benediction. And it should remind you of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus speaks of the blessed man. Blessed is the one who mourns. Blessed is the one who is persecuted. The blessed man is the one who is gracious, the one who is receiving all those things that God has promised. The original Hebrew word is plural. It's not a singular blessed. It's a blessedness. It's plural. And we enjoy the many perfections and greatness that God gives to us in His person. The first thing that we learn about the blessed man is that what he does not do. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. You'll note there's a progression here. And the progression is a progression that sin binds upon a man. When a man sins, at first, doesn't enslave him. It is something that he walks in. It's something that he does. And it may or may not be something that he can refuse to do. But as he continues in that way of sin, then it becomes a way that is habitual. And he sits. And eventually, the sinner that has walked and the walking in sin has become habitual, then that sinner becomes one who mocks. The gracious man who is blessed is one who has turned away from the counsel of the ungodly, and he takes wiser counsel. He walks in the commandments of the Lord his God. His ways are of piety and of peace and pleasantness. His footsteps are ordered by the word of God. And then he does not stand in the way of sinners because he has chosen a different company. He chooses as a blood-washed sinner, quickened by the Holy Spirit and renewed, to stand in the rich grace of God and to be gathered together with fellow saints. He then has nothing to do with mockers. Mockers are those who make light of eternity, who do not believe in either heaven or hell, and they don't understand the nature of the eternal God. The blessed man has learned a better philosophy. He understands that to repudiate God in his person and nature is blasphemy, and he will not be in the midst of those who blaspheme his Creator and Redeemer. When men live in sin, they go from bad to worse. When a man walks as a godly man, he walks in the way of sanctification. The sinner sins and becomes worse and worse until he's scornful. The blood-washed sinner becomes more and more sensitive to sin, and at some point he may be able to say with Paul, "I am the chief of sinners." But the blessed man also does things positively. He delights in the law of the Lord. He is not under the law. To be under the law is a curse and condemnation. But as we understand from the New Testament, the law is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. So when we delight in the law of the Lord, we will behold wondrous things in that law. And some of the things that we may marvel at are what Jesus Christ has done for us. For instance, if you read the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you'll read of the temple, you'll read of the priesthood, you'll read of the beauty of the temple and the clothing of the priests, specifically of the high priest. And those list of sacrifices in the first five chapters of Leviticus are sacrifices that are all satisfied in the work of Christ at the cross. And we get a picture of who we are when we read of the priests and their duties in the tabernacle. For we are priests. So when we meditate upon the law, it's to behold the work of Christ. It's to understand the nature and the necessity of the work of Christ. And it's to come to grips with who we are as redeemed, blood-washed kings and priests. So we delight in the law, and we meditate upon it. We think of it. We carry it with us during the day. We rise in the night, and we meditate and give thanks to God for that which He has accomplished through Jesus Christ, and how He has transformed us so that we are being made blameless, and that Jesus Christ will present us before the throne of God without spot. The blessed man is also like a tree. Notice, it's planted. It's not a wild tree. It's planted. Jesus said in Matthew that every plant which the Heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. You and I are planted plants, and we're planted by rivers of water, rivers of pardon, rivers of grace, rivers of promise, rivers of communion with Christ. These are never ending, never failing rivers. And we are like that tree planted by rivers of water. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4 that if she drank of the water that Jesus had to give, there would be an artesian well springing up in, which means that she, because of her transformation and her drinking deeply of the water that Christ had to give, she herself would be a blessing. The blessed man not only is a well-watered tree that God has planted, but he brings forth fruit at the proper time. For instance, he will bring forth faith in times of trial. He will bring forth patience in times of suffering. He will bring forth joy always. As Paul writes, he says that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And their fruit will come. Fruit is essential. If you are a child of God, a tree planted by rivers of water, you will bring forth fruit. Paul lists for us the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering, self-control. This fruit will be produced, for God has planted you. And the blessed man will not have any leaf that withers. The blessed man will become more beautiful. Paul speaks of women's beauty in particular, as does Peter. And it's the beauty of the inner person. The outer beauty may fade, but the inner beauty continues to grow and become more beautiful. The blessed man's leaf will not wither. He will always be beautiful. But we have to remember that God himself is the husband. He is the gardener. He is the one who prunes the vine. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we bear fruit, the Father will prune us. Pruning is not easy. Pruning can be very painful. But even in those trials of tribulation, we will prosper. The prosperity of the believer, the blessed man, is a prosperity of character, not necessarily of physical possessions. The prosperity of character that understands that you belong to Christ and that you will learn to rejoice during trial. You'll learn to be humble. You'll learn the truth of the matter when God says through his apostle that everything works for the benefit of the believer, to conform you to the image of Christ. And you will give thanks that God is faithful as he prunes you, and you in turn will develop more fruit. You'll produce more fruit. And again, fruit is essential. For if you are a child of God, washed in the blood of Christ, you must bear fruit. That is the nature of what a Christian does. He will bear fruit. The ungodly are not so. Whatever has been said of the blessed man is not true of the ungodly. The ungodly will not prosper. The ungodly would not bear fruit. Again, referring to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus refers again to the pruning of the vine. And if there's a branch that does not bear fruit, that branch is removed. The ungodly do not bear fruit. The ungodly do not bless others. But they are like the chaff. Chaff is the least important piece of a kernel of wheat. And the wind just drives it away. How terrible it is that there's a double negative. In the Hebrew, it's a double negative that begins this portion. It's the ungodly are not so. No, not so. This double negative is tragic. You see, the ungodly are the first in that portion of the psalm. Remember, the psalmist begins that the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are the least offensive of the wicked. And it's the least offensive who are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It's the least offensive that is described as being worthless, dead, unserviceable, without substance, and easily carried away. Here, we understand something of the doom of the ungodly, for the wind drives them away. Surely, death is a terrible blast of fire for the ungodly. For there's no remedy. As the writer to the Hebrews says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And the psalmist refers to that in verse 5. For the Lord does not know the ungodly, and therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. They will be those who can only defend themselves. When the accusers come to judge and to accuse the ungodly have only themselves for their defense, which is no defense at all. And when they are judged, they will not be acquitted. And therefore, they will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Presently, in this world, congregations are mixed, as Jesus described in the parable of the tares and the wheat, that there was a field, and he sowed the wheat, and the enemy came in and sowed the tares, and they grew together. And at the end, there's the harvest, and the wheat and the tares are separated. In this life, any congregation of professing Christians has wheat and tares. But there will come a day when there's the separation, and the congregation of the righteous will be completely separated. Now, you should notice in this psalm that the blessed man has now become the righteous. You should note this because when we mention the blessed man and what he does, he meditates on the law day and night. He is not under the law. He meditates and he's in the law. The law guides him. The law describes for him what God requires. The law tells him what Jesus Christ has accomplished for him. And therefore, the blessed man who meditates upon the law is a righteous man. We have to remember that it's the righteous man who lives by faith. Earning merit by keeping the law is not part of any of the Psalms. And this psalm makes it clear. This psalm makes it clear that the righteous man is the blessed man, and the righteous man is one who meditates, one who does not associate with sinners, does not pursue the behavior and the character of the ungodly. And God knows the way of the righteous. The Lord understands their way. The New Testament tells us that Christianity, as it was practiced and proclaimed by the apostles, was originally called the way. And Paul mentions this. We are told here in Psalm chapter 1 that the Lord knows this way. He knows the way of the righteous. He knows how they go. And he is with them. As he says in another place, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He knows the righteous. He knows this blessed man. But the way of the ungodly, the Lord does not know. The Lord does not know the ungodly. The Lord will cause the name of the wicked to rot. The Lord will cause the name of the wicked to be a stench. It is my prayer that we all have clean hearts and that our ways are pure and that we seek the face of God and that we meditate upon the Word of God, that we meditate upon His law, that we behold the wondrous things that Christ has done. We understand who we are. We understand the end. We understand the new heaven and new earth. And we hold these things lightly in this life. that we may enjoy the blessedness of the righteous for eternity. May you all, by God's mercy and grace, be blessed, meditating upon the law of God and being as a tree, bringing forth fruit in season, that you may prosper in all that you do. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are merciful to us and that you gather to us all of your promises. We know, Lord, that we live by faith, and that as the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 died without receiving the promises, we too will probably die without receiving the promises. But we know, Lord, because you are the Lord God of truth, and that you are the covenant keeper and maker, that your promises are certain and sure. So we ask, Lord, that we would meditate upon these things, and that we would produce the fruits of righteousness, that we would produce the fruits that bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for gathering us together as your people, and we thank you that we look forward to that time when we will gather together as the congregation of the righteous, and that we will be singing your praises throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn number 34, Holy Bible, Book Divine. Holy Bible, Book Divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me which I am. Mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love. Mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to publish or reward. Mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness. Mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death. Mine to tell of joys to come, and the rebel sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Our doxology is hymn number 29, verses 1 and 3. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.